Being a sinner like you. Thank you for that song.
I invite you to please turn to the book of John, the 8th chapter. John chapter 8. One verse from my text this morning, verse 24. John 8, 24. Jesus is speaking and He says, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. We often speak of people who depart from this life as doing so in the midst of their conditions. For example, we might say, he died a pauper, or he died a wealthy man. Some people depart in total isolation while others are surrounded by family and friends. The first dies a lonely death. The second departs in a sea of love. We also make application to their circumstances prior to their passing. We say to the unrepentant murderer, don't leave this world with that on your conscience. To the embittered, spiteful, unforgiving individual, we say, make it right while you can. Don't die with this on your heart. If not, we might say, he died a broken-hearted man. A bitter soul. Now, our text deals with the spiritual condition of man, both living and in the event of his death. The clear spiritual import of the text is this. You are presently a lost sinner. Don't die in your sins. Now, this, of course, is our appeal to all those with whom we share the gospel. We speak in this manner because we know that when a person dies, their eternal condition is fixed. A lost person will endure the wrath of God, and the saved person will enter into heaven. Therefore, we don't want anyone to die lost. For to die lost is to remain lost. Sad but true, we must sometimes declare, he died an evil man, or he died a lost man. Now, it is my objective to look into our text and receive the warning which is extended by Jesus. And although he speaks to his contemporaries, the truth is just as vibrant and effectual today. So I speak from John chapter 8, verse 24, a message which I have entitled, Do Not Die in Your Sins. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house and thank you for the opportunity to be here today and to honor you and to worship you and to give you the glory and the praise. Thank you for these that are able to be with us. Our heart goes out to those that cannot be here due to sickness and providential hindrance. We ask you be pleased to bless and to heal and meet those needs and your will be done. And as we come together today to honor you, we ask that you would meet the needs of hearts of every one of us here today, that those of us who are saved would rejoice in the salvation we have. And the cleansing that we've had in our souls. But our heart goes out to those that are lost in our midst today, that you would be pleased to convict them of their sin, draw them unto you, grant unto them repentance and faith today, that they would be saved today, so they would not die in their sins. So we see the very clear declaration of the passage today just embedded in every heart, and especially for the lost. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. I say unto you today, my friend, do not die in your sins. Now, when we look into verse 24, the first thing I find is the application. Jesus says, I said therefore unto you. Now, that therefore tells me that he had said it before time, and there's a purpose for that, and he's reiterating here it within our passage. But so what's the application? If he says, I said therefore unto you, where did he say that to begin with? All you have to do is back up a couple verses, and you'll find it in verse 21. Here's why Jesus makes this application. Then said Jesus again unto them, and he's teaching these Jews in the temple, and he says, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. So when we think about, he says, well, I said therefore unto you. When did he say it? He said it just a few moments before. And just glance into verse 21 and see what he is talking about here. He says, I go my way. What does that mean? That means that Jesus Christ knows that not very long from there, He is going to be executed, He's going to be buried, He's going to rise again from the dead, and He's going to ascend back up into heaven. You see, Jesus is God's Son. He is the Messiah that was promised to come into the world. And so being God incarnate, He came from heaven, came to earth, but He's going to die and He's going to go back to heaven. And so He says, I go my way. I'm going to go back to heaven. Now, He says in the text there in verse 21, and you shall seek me. So these people are going to end up looking for Him, but the problem is they're not going to find Him. Proof of that, and you'll just go back a page to chapter 7. Jesus had addressed this thought earlier on, and it's recorded in chapter 7 of the book of John, verse 33. Here He's speaking to the Pharisees, and He said, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Going back to heaven. You shall seek me, but notice what He says, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. And so when you look back into our passage, when He makes these statements and He says that I go my way and you shall seek me. Yes, they're going to look for Him, but they're not going to be able to find Him. And as a result of not being able to find Him and knowing Him and not having a change in their heart, He says in verse 21, and shall die in your sins. So He told them before, you're not going to be able to follow me and you're going to die in your sins. Now, there are three points that I want to mention to you about the fact that they are going to die in their sins, and we have it reiterated in our passage because He had said that before. So when we look into our text, that's what He's making a reference toward. But this matter of dying in your sins, just three quick things. First of all, I submit unto you the matter of corruption. These people are sinners. They have violated the commands of God, and they're alienated from God, and they're enemies of God. They are sinners. By the way, you're a sinner, aren't you? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, Jesus expresses these people that they're sinners. And so we see their corruption. But not only that, we notice, secondly, their condition. Because He says that they're sinners, and He says, you shall die in your sins. You get the point, don't you? This is who they are. They're sinners. And they're going to die in that capacity. And so that is their condition. My friend, today, if you should leave this life, would you be dying in your sins? Now, that's a very important question. Or have you been forgiven of your sin and have eternal life? That's an ultimate question. And so He says, you shall die in your sins. And so they're corrupted. And that is their condition. But then I submit that also, and the implication, at least from my perspective, when He says that you shall die in your sin, brings in the matter of condemnation. Not just the fact that you're going to die physically, but I think there's the implication of the eternal death. And if you know the Scriptures, and you read the Bible and study the Bible, you understand that people, because they sinned against God, are going to die physically. But beyond that, and more importantly, is the eternal death. And so when He looks at these people and He says, you're not going to be able to follow me and you're going to die in your sins, that tells me that people die in that kind of a condition, not only die physically, but they have that eternal death, that eternal condemnation. And that's very important. So I see in this passage here in verse 21, which is our text, is the application of this passage. He says, I go my way and you shall seek me and shall die in your sins. But notice, why will they do that? Because they are who they are and they cannot follow Him, and so they will not be able to enter heaven. So He says, whither I go, you cannot come. You just cannot do it on your own. You can't. And so when we look into our passage, first of all, the application, I said, therefore, and we found where that's from. The second point of my message is the identification. Not just the application, but the identification. He says, I said, therefore, unto you. Unto you. Now, what is this declaration? Who are these people? Well, for this, you back up one verse, to verse 23. And He said unto them, I am from beneath, or you are from beneath, rather, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Who are the you here? I said, therefore unto you. These are people who are from beneath. You see the contrast within the text? Now, I want to make it very clear to you because, well, sometimes when you see the King James and they have that ye, you don't really know sometimes whether it's a plural or a singular. I looked up this word just to make sure. I know he's talking to the Jews, but he could have singled out just one individual person, but he didn't do that. This is a plural noun, and so pronoun. And so ye, plural, all of you, ye are from beneath. And he says, but I am from above. So the contrast is very clear. The word beneath is a preposition or an adverb, which means down or downwards. It is to be beneath or below or under. You know what that word means. The word above is opposite of that. Of course, it's an adverb, which means to be above or to be upwards. And so the contrast is, he says, you are from where? Below. You're from beneath. I'm from above. Where'd Jesus come from? Jesus came from the Father in heaven, did he not? Did we come from the Father in heaven? No, absolutely not. We're from beneath. And you have to understand that. So let's see the biblical description of being from beneath. Keep a finger, of course, in our passage, but we're going to be in several places. Go back, if you would, to the book of Genesis, the second chapter. Several things I just want to digress for just a moment about what it means to be from beneath. We're just simply identifying these people. Now, they are from beneath, I submit unto you, first of all, because, well, mankind was created here, were they not? Well, sure. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so man is from beneath because we come from here. We were made from the ground. Does that make sense to you? Well, that's what the Bible tells us. He says in our passage, he says, you're of this world. And how so is that? Well, absolutely, because we're made of the dirt to begin with. But God made us while we were here. Man is created here. So if you would, go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. If we are from beneath, which we are, then we are from this earth. Or we're of the earth. Well, this is demonstrated in, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll just look at a portion of these verses. But in verse 44, notice the description of people from beneath. Verse 44, the first part of the verse, he says, it is sown a natural body. Every one of you today have a natural body, don't you? Verse 45, the first part of the verse. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. We read that in Genesis chapter 2. And you are a living soul today. You're of the earth. You're a natural. You have a natural body. Verse 46, howbeit not that was not first which is spiritual, that which is natural. See, Adam was made. Mankind was made. Verse 47, first part of the verse. Notice what he says. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? We're earthy. Verse 48, the first part of the verse. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Adam was earthy. And we're descendants from Adam and Eve. And so we're earthy. Where are you from? You're not from above. You're from below. That's what the Scriptures teach us. Now back in Genesis chapter 3, let me read to you in verse 7 that the problem is, well, we're all descendants of Adam, and in the process of time, in Genesis chapter 3 records for us the history of man sinning against God before they had any children, and so all of the man's children after that are sinners. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, the first part of the verse, it says, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. They took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had sinned against God. In verse 22, the first part of that verse of Genesis 3, it says, and the Lord God said, behold, man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Before that, they were innocent. They were upright. But then they became evil. What will be the descendants of Adam? All of them will be evil. Why? Because they're of the earth. They're of Him. He was earthy, and so we're earthy. That's why we're born dead in trespasses and sins. That's why we're all sinners, aren't we? Because we're all of the earth. So listen, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you kept a finger there, then you will notice these things. But verse 42, You think man is corrupted? Of course he's corrupted. Man is depraved. I believe he's totally depraved. I think that affects his will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 tells us this in the middle part of the verse, it is sown in corruption. Well, that's true, isn't it? Verse 43, the first part of the verse, it is sown in dishonor. Second phrase, in, it is sown in weakness. Verse 44, first part of the verse, it is sown a natural body. And so we can read over and go back to our text in John chapter 8. But we read over in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 12. Therefore, it says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What does that mean for our passage? It means that when we read the identification within the text where he says, therefore I said unto you, that you are those who are from beneath. And those who are from beneath are sinners under condemnation and under the wrath of God. We're corrupted. We're totally depraved. That's who we are in our natural nature. That's how we're born. And so, I want you to know who you are. He tells them, therefore I said unto you, it's still true today, you are from beneath. You are of this world, every one of us. Well, let's look into our text then and notice the third point of the message, and that is the declaration. What do we find in verse 24? He says, I said therefore unto you, here's a declaration, referencing what we already seen in verse 21, that you shall die in your sins. And I just want to make it very clear that this is a declaration that this is what's coming to them. You shall die. It's a future statement, and they are going to die. The word in the original language means to become, and we don't use this term very much, but putrescent. Might want to look that one up. In other words, you're going to rot. That's what happens. You're going to die. But also there's an application in the spiritual sense that you're going to die the death of final condemnation and misery. You shall die in your sins. Now, three things come from this in my perspective, and I look at it, first of all, from the viewpoint of the subject. You shall die in your sins. Well, who's the subject? The subject is you. Those people who are from beneath. Those people who already demonstrated in the passage that they're sinners and under the condemnation of God, and so death passes upon all men. That's sinful man then. You, well, what the action is, shall die. Now that's both physically and spiritually. And so what that means is, if you're lost right now, if you stay in that present condition, that's the condition in which you will die. Simple fact. And so you just have to think about a couple of the illustrations I gave you in the introduction. And so today, as a lost person on your way to devil's hell, if you die like that, then you're dead in your sins right now. You'll die in your sins. Then you're going to die that way physically. And that, of course, implies the spiritual application. And so the subject is man from beneath, which includes every one of us. The action is you're going to die in your sins. But really, you're going to die, but the modifier makes it very clear. That's the personal, the prepositional phrase at the end. You shall die in your sins. You're all going to die. But if you're lost, you're going to die in your sins. And three quick things come out of that. First of all, is the problem. And what's the problem? It's sin. And the Greek word here means exactly that. It is an error or offense or a sin. And it's just not a mistake. People like to say, well, I'm not a sinner, but I made mistakes. My friend, you are a sinner against a holy God. The root word of this word that's in the text, a very common word in the New Testament, means to miss the mark, to be an error. I always use the illustration and I know we don't do too much bow and arrow anymore, but when I was in high school, we had to get out the bow and arrow in gym class and shoot at a target. If you don't hit a bullseye, then you miss the mark. If you play darts and you throw that dart at the board and you don't get a bullseye, you miss the mark. Anytime you come up short, you miss the mark. That's the of this word. That's the root of this word. And so it means an error or a sin or an offense. And every one of us are guilty of that. We've come short of the glory of God, we read in Romans. And so the problem is sin. But notice it's personal. He says, you shall die in your sins. You might die physically for some sin that I might commit. But if you've been a sinner, you're going to die in your sins. You will die physically and you will die spiritually forever if you die in that condition. That's the whole point. The problem is sin. It is personal. Every one of us are sinners. And notice the present statement that is there. It's in. You shall die in your sins. What a declaration. Many years ago, I sat across from some leaders of a different denomination and tried to witness to them. And I was sharing the gospel with them. And I just simply told them, if you do not believe according to what the Scripture says is necessary for eternal life, then you will die and go to hell. And they got so offended over that. You can't tell me I'm going to hell. I said, I didn't say you're going to hell. But if you don't believe what God has said, you will go to hell. That's just a simple statement. Jesus is telling them, if you're in this condition and you die that way, then you die in that condition. That's the thing he says to them. You will die in your sins. So that's the declaration that he has made and he makes reference toward. And we already looked at verse 21. Now let's look into then the explanation. Verse 24, and it's the latter part of the verse. But we'll pick it up from the beginning just for sake of continuity. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. Now here's the explanation. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Four things I submit unto you. Number one, there's the shortcoming. These people do not believe. He says, if you do not believe, and the word in the text is the word for believe. It's a simple, common term used throughout the New Testament for believing or faith or giving credit toward, to entrust or to commit. But of course it has the negative. And so he says, if you do not believe. So the shortcoming is these people do not believe. That's why he said to them before, you're going to seek me, but you're not going to be able to follow after me. Why? Because you don't believe. And so the shortcoming is you do not believe. And so, dear sinner friend, today I want you to understand you're lost and you do not believe. That's the reason you're lost. You will not believe. But notice the Savior. And secondly, in the text, he says, if you believe not, then I am He. And so Jesus is the Savior. He's the only one that can give you eternal life. And if you don't believe in who He is and what He has accomplished, then you're in unbelief, you are lost, you're in your sins, and you will die in your sins. Unless you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you? I pray that it does. This is the explanation that Jesus says unto them. You're going to die in your sins because you do not believe that I'm He. You do not believe. Now, I do want you to notice the third point in verse 24, and that is the subjunctive. It's that word if. If you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. But if you do believe that He is who He said He was and what He came to accomplish and you trust in Him, if you do, will you die in your sins? No. What he says is if you do not believe, you will die in your sins. It's a subjunctive. It may or may not happen. So you that are here that are lost today, you're in your sin. If you continue in that condition, you will die in your sin. And you will die in unbelief. But if by God's grace and mercy you would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll have forgiveness of your sin, and you will not die in your sin, and you'll go to be with God forever. If. The last thing is this. I find in verse 24 the explanation that he gives unto them, and that's the sad ending. Because these people are not going to believe, and they're not going to follow after him. And so he says in verse 24, he says, if you believe not that I am he, what's the statement? You shall die in your sins. The same statement he made just a second ago and back in verse 21. So our evangelistic appeal, which we make, really is accurate and appropriate. I can look anyone in the face and say, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. I know that's offensive. I know that's not politically correct, but it is truth. You today that are lost, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. You need Jesus, don't you? And so the last thing I bring to your attention, that's the text. But I want to give you an exhortation. And of course the exhortation is what? Well, if you don't believe in Jesus, what's going to happen? You're going to die in your sins. The title of the message is, do not die in your sins. So what am I exhorting you to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me enumerate this or elaborate if I may. First of all, His person. Believe in who He is. I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He left heaven, came to earth nearly 2,000 years ago, took Himself a human body. God incarnate. He was the promised Messiah that should come into the world. He lived a perfect life. Why? Because He was from above. He was not of this world. He was from above. And He came from the Father. That's who Jesus is. Do you believe that? I know a lot of people do not. And yet they profess to be Christians. They can't be Christian and deny Jesus Christ. You have to believe His person. Secondly, you have to believe His purpose. Why did Jesus come? Some people believe that Jesus came to be a good example. Well, we just look at His life, and then we can mirror His life, and then we'll live good enough, and we'll be able to walk into heaven. That will never happen. He is a good example, but that's not why He came. Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth to become a sacrifice for sinners. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You understand that? And so the purpose is that He left heaven to become a sacrifice for me, that I might have forgiveness of my sin, that I don't have to die in my sin. And so that's the purpose that He came. And you must believe in His person, you must believe in His purpose, and you must believe in His provision. That provision is what He accomplished. Jesus Christ, though He never sinned, went to the cross and was crucified as a sinner. As He hung there on the cross, He bore our sins upon Himself on the tree, Peter writes. And so Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He became a sacrifice for me. He became the sacrifice for sinners. You must believe in His provision. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ can wash you from your sin? We sing that song, what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How true that is. Who do you believe in today? What are you trusting today for eternal life? You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or you will die in your sins. And you must believe in His person and His purpose and His provision. But I submit unto you, you must also believe in His power. That is what He will do. God will save sinners. All that the Father give to me shall come unto me. Him that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. Jesus said, if you will believe on me, you'll have eternal life. If you don't believe on me, you're going to die in your sins. What does that mean? Jesus alone is the Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. And so, my friend, today, if you're going to be saved, you must recognize who He is, what He has accomplished, and that He alone can give you eternal life. He alone can give you that salvation. That you have to believe in His power. And then I want to submit unto you, you must believe in His plan. How will He save sinners? Is it going to be up to you to live a good life, treat your neighbor right, get baptized, and eat communion, and give money to the church and all that? No. What did God say is necessary? If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. But if you believe that He is who He said He was and what He came to accomplish and the provision which He has made, what will happen? You will not die in your sins. You will have eternal life. And how is that all accomplished then? It's by that word belief, isn't it? It's the matter of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of your works. It's a gift of God. And so, my friend, I want you to know, if you're going to be saved today, right now you're lost, you're in your sins, how are you going to have forgiveness of your sins? By believing in Jesus Christ. It's all by faith. Walking an aisle will not save you. Raising your hand will not save you. Repeating a prayer after me will not save you. You must have faith in Jesus Christ that He is who he said he was, and he did what he said he would do, and he would give you eternal life if you repent and believe on him. It's all by faith. And so I just look back. I quoted John 3:16 a moment ago. Look at it again. And I'm just going to show you some verses that demonstrate, and then I'll be done. I'm going to show you some verses that demonstrate this matter of faith. John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Chapter 5, John 5, 24. Jesus speaking says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." See that? Chapter 6, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." People think the works of God is just all these works. Jesus said the work of God is that you believe on him. Now there are other works, of course, as a Christian ought to live, but I can't get to heaven by my works. It's either grace or it's by faith. And they do not mix. So there in John chapter 6 and in verse 35 it says, "I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Chapter 7, John 7, verse 37, the last part of that verse. Jesus speaking says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Chapter 10, John 10, 37. John 10, 37. Jesus again speaking, he says, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." What did he tell Martha and Mary? John chapter 11, look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" One last verse, John chapter 12. And in verse 44, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." The exhortation is clear. If you do not want to die in your sins, you have to believe on Jesus Christ. So let me close by offering you these thoughts. Number one, you are from beneath, and you are a sinner by nature. That's who you are. Number two, if you are still an unbeliever, then your present condition is that you're a lost man, you're an enemy of God, and you're alienated from Him. Whether you believe that or not, it is true. If you're still an unbeliever, because you're a sinner, you're alienated from God. Number three, if you should die in that condition, it will remain your condition. There is no reprieve after death. Despite what some will say, well, after death, people can pray you out and get money to get you out. It's not going to happen. If you die in your sins, you remain in your sin. And you'll be under the wrath and condemnation of God for all eternity. Your greatest need is to repent and believe on Jesus Christ. So I just simply say to you, do not die in your sins. Why would you choose to do that? So dear sinner today, you're in unbelief, you're lost. Do not die in your sins. And your only remedy is Jesus Christ. By faith. That's it. Let's stand. My Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word and that which you laid upon my heart. And I ask that you would just take it to everyone here today, that we who are saved would rejoice in the salvation we have. And may we live for you. Father, forgive us where we fall short. But again, we pray for those that are lost. Help them to recognize their present condition. Help them to recognize that they need you. Father, we ask that you'd save them before they die in their sins. Just speak to their hearts. Turn them unto you. Let the light shine out of the darkness, we pray. In Jesus' name, and amen.